Jesus' name. Because of a printer error yesterday, we won't be doing the responsive psalm reading. I'm just going to read you a psalm from the Bible. Sometimes them computers are stubborn with us. Well, I'm going to read you another familiar psalm, the 23rd psalm, about God's love for us, His shepherd. So listen to the word of God. He tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." Praise God for that love that He shows us. We'll dwell with Him forever. If you got your Bibles with you, if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John will be in chapter 8. John 8. I'll give you a second to find it. And I want you to do, if you'll stand with me, in honor of God's holy word. John chapter 8. John 8 and verse 1, the Lord tells us, He says, "Then each of them went home." Verse 1, "While Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, early in the morning He came to the temple. All the people came to Him and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to Him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?' Verse 6, they said this to test Him, so that they might have some charge to bring against Him. Jesus bent down and wrote with His finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning Him, He straightened up and said to them, 'Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her.' And once again He bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus left alone with the woman standing before Him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, sir.' And Jesus said, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. And from now on, do not sin again.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. Lord, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Help it to pierce us to our very hearts and soul, that we may be holy people, sanctified, set apart for Your glory, Lord, and full of Your mercy and love. We thank You so much, Father. Give me the words I should preach this morning, and give us all hearts unto Thee. As You bid us in Revelation, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Help us hear from You. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated. Amen. We come here to John chapter 8, and we see this woman. We got Christmas time coming up, and what a glorious time of year it is. It's one of my favorite times of year when we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, the one who loves us the most, who died on the cross of Calvary to give us the most wonderful gift. No doubt we'll be exchanging a lot of gifts here in a few days. So many in different ways may look different for your family this year, or maybe the same. Most of all, the one thing that doesn't change is God's love for us and the greatest gift of all. This woman received that gift. Excuse me. And let's examine it here in the Word of God. In John 8, as we just read, it said, "Then each of them went home, while Jesus went to the Mount of Olives." So often He went to the Mount of Olives to pray and to commune to God. We ought to do that every day. We ought to be remembering to focus our lives on the Lord. What did Jesus say when He prayed there? When He prayed the Mount of Olives, when He prayed in the garden, He prayed in these places, "Not my will be done, but Thine, O Lord." He prayed for God's will to be fulfilled in His life. For He was God, very God, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. He came down from heaven And that's what we celebrate in a few days when Christ himself came down from heaven. We got a stained glass window of it somewhere. It's in the back. Beautiful images of what God has done when he sent Jesus. He didn't just send somebody to go do his bidding for him, but he sent his only begotten Son, God in the flesh, to die on the cross of Calvary for us, to give us the gift of salvation, the greatest gift of all, the love of God. He says here, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. In verse 2, early in the morning, he came again to the temple. Now, he comes again to the temple of Almighty God, the place set apart for worship of God. We have temples to this very day. It's not this building, but it's me and you. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. The temple is an important aspect of worship of God. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost, so we ought to be living like it, living in holiness and following the Lord. If we've accepted the gift of God's salvation, we've accepted the most wonderful thing we can ever have, the gift of Jesus. He's in our temple right here. The Holy Ghost lives inside me and you when we come to him in faith. Jesus went to that old temple, the temple before, and it says all the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. Jesus wants to teach us to this very day, if we'll listen, just as he bids us in Revelation. Anyone that has an ear, listen to what the Spirit saith to the churches. We've got to listen to what God's telling us. Listen to what he's saying through the gift of his Son. He said all the people came to him and sat down and began to teach them. Now here in verse 3, notice, the scribes and the Pharisees. Now these were people that was no doubt familiar with the law of God in the Old Testament, a Torah as they called it, or the Pentateuch, the Greeks called it, the first five books, and then the prophets, the rest of the Old Testament. The scribes, their job was to write it down. They didn't have them old printing presses back then, so they tediously would copy the Word of God. It's amazing when you read on it. When they were going to write the name of God back in that old Hebrew, they would go wash their hands and then write it, and then go cleanse themselves again. They were so reverent with it. But so often it didn't get to their heart, as we see right here. The scribes, their task was to write the Word of God. And the Pharisees, they would memorize the entire law of Moses, many of them. Entire books of the Bible, memorized, got up here, but so often it didn't get in the heart. It didn't get in their soul and their spirit. They didn't listen to God. The scribes and the Pharisees, they brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. Notice here, she was caught in adultery, in the very act, it says. Notice here, and making her stand before all of them to humiliate her, it says. They said to them, Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. No question if she had done it or not. In verse 5, now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So not only, there's only one place where it says in adultery you're to be stoned in the old law. Praise God we don't live in the old law. We'd all be dead. God would have destroyed us all, but he sent Jesus to take the punishment for us for that woman's sin in this moment. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, verse 23 of chapter 22, in the law of Moses, if there's a young woman, a virgin, already engaged to be married, and a man meets her in the town and lies with her, you shall bring both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. The young woman, because she did not cry for help in the town, they were right in the middle of everybody, it says, and the man, because he violated his neighbor's wife. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. Notice here, you shall bring both of them to the gate of that town. Sin always brings a punishment, but praise God, Jesus took that punishment for us. But if you notice there, it says, you shall bring both of them. They didn't bring both of them here, did they? If you'll notice here, it says, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. They caught her in the very act, it says, the very act of the sin. According to the law of Moses, both those people was to be stoned. But they didn't bring both of them. We don't know who the other person was. It makes us wonder, as we read down here, and Christ wrote in the ground, if it was one of those Pharisees and scribes that was committing a sin with her. We don't know what it was. But we know that she stood guilty. They stood guilty, and we all stand guilty before a holy God without Jesus. He says here, Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. That's the only instance in the law of Moses where it says they should be stoned for that. He says here, now, what do you say? Verse 6, they said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. We're always after the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, do not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't put the Lord thy God to the test. You can't out-test him. We must trust him. That's what Jesus said when the devil tempted him. You shall not put the Lord thy God to the test. He says here, Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. We don't know what he wrote, but it was obviously very mighty powerful. In verse 7, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. He says here, they're all guilty. We all stand guilty. That's why Jesus had to come down. There wasn't any way possible for me, for you. There was absolutely no way for us to go to heaven except Jesus came down from heaven and died on the cross for us. But he didn't just die on the cross for us. He lived a holy, perfect life. He didn't just show up on crucifixion day and die and then rise again. But he was born by the Virgin Mary, as we just confessed in the Apostles' Creed. He was born into this world as an innocent baby, as a child. He was born without sin. He lived a holy life. Hebrews tells us he was in every way tempted, yet found without sin. Not once did he sin, but us, we're full of sin because we live in a lost and fallen world. In the Gospel of Matthew, you know, many people will look at this woman and say, boy, she's filthy. But in verse 27 of chapter 5 of Matthew, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. In verse 21 of that same chapter, you have heard that it was said, those of the ancient times, you shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say unto you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. If you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. Lord, help us. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come offer your gift. God's law is a lot stricter than man's law, as we see. We all stand guilty, just as guilty as this woman did, just as guilty as everybody did. Jesus said, let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Isn't that wonderful that God doesn't cast us into hell when we deserve it? But he sent Jesus to be our redemption, Jesus to be our Lord, Jesus to be our Savior. He came down from heaven. We recognize that on the 25th of December every year in that wonderful remembrance. There's a lot of things going on around here. A lot of hustle and bustle. A lot of heaping things all around us. But Jesus is the center of it all. Jesus is the most important thing. I'm reminded of a parable there. And I see this sometimes in different places. I've saw it on t-shirts. I've saw it on decorations. It shows bottles of wine. It says, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, I remember where that comes from in the Bible. There's a quote in one of the Gospels where one of the people was heaping up barns. He tore down his old barn and heaped up another one because he had so much stuff. And he said, oh, I'll take mine ease. I'll eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord came to him that night and said, thou fool, your life will be required of you this very day. Then whose will all your belongings go to? Who will these great barns full of riches go to? We got to remember who's the center of this thing. His wonderful gifts will exchange and show love to each other. But God's love is the most important thing. If we don't have God's love, we don't know true love without him. For God is love, the Bible tells us, what John tells us in the epistles. God is love. If we don't love someone else, we don't know God. We cannot hate. We cannot be wicked toward one another and treat anybody like dirt, because God loves everybody. We ought to show God's love. Just like this woman here was loved by God, and so were the Pharisees. So are me, and so are you. Who is without sin, be the first to throw a stone at her. Verse 8, and once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. Verse 9, when they heard it, they went away, one by one. It reminds me of the book of Acts, when it talks about when Jesus had rose again from the dead, and the apostles were preaching the gospel of the Lord. They spoke the word of God, and it says that they were cut to the heart. God used it. The Holy Spirit pricked their heart. No doubt these people were being cut to the heart. When they heard it, they went away one by one. So they knew they were guilty. One by one, beginning with the elders. The tragedy was they turned away and walked away from Jesus. They walked away from the author and finisher of our faith. They walked away from the Lord, God Almighty, the one that redeems us and saves us, instead of coming to him. So many people do that this very day. People do that this week. They'll do it next week. They do it every week, walking away from the one who saves us, from the only way to heaven, the truest gift of all, the one most wonderful gift that God gives us freely. He says, by grace you're saved, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't earn it. We can't be good enough for heaven, because we all sin. We've all broken the law. James tells us, if we've broken the law in part, we've broken it in whole, the thing's shattered. But by God's grace, we're restored and we're redeemed. He said, when they heard it, they went away, one by one. It's a personal thing, one by one, with our Savior. they rejected him that day. Let's not reject him. Beginning with the elders, it says. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. All the crowds there came to hear him teach. All the crowds came to condemn her. They were gone. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him in the temple of Almighty God. Verse 10, the Lord tells us, Jesus straightened up and said to her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? They couldn't condemn her now, for they knew themselves to be condemned. We can't condemn someone around us, for we ourselves stand guilty before Almighty God. We all stand guilty. We all stand in need of a Savior. Do you know that Savior? Do you know His love, the most wonderful gift of all? Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Verse 11, she said, No one, sir. And he said, Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on do not sin again. We're going to read back in John chapter 3, as we just read, when we lit that candle. John chapter 3, he tells us in verse 16, as we're familiar, For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He gave Him. He lived a perfect, holy life for me and you. He died on the cross for me and you. He rose again from the dead for me and you. He had no original sin. He was not tainted with any sin. He died innocently for us on the cross. He took our sin upon Himself and gave us His righteousness. He says here, He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. That woman received that. We can receive it. In verse 17, indeed. Notice here, 17. God did not send the Son into the world. He sent Him here. He did not send Him into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. He didn't send Him here to condemn. He didn't send us here to send us to hell. He sent us here to give us a path of salvation, a path to heaven. Neither do I condemn you, God says to you. Go and sin no more, He tells us. The very same He told her. Receive the gift of salvation. Receive the most wonderful thing God has ever given us. He gives us many gifts. We got so much to be thankful for this morning, don't we? I've got the breath of life. I'm sitting here. I got two arms. I got two legs I'm standing on. I can even talk. Brothers and sisters, I drove in a car on my way up here. God has given us so many gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven, from the Father of lights, the Bible tells us in James. Everything we got is a gift from God. But what is the greatest gift? He gave His only Son. If we have that, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek God and His righteousness, His salvation, His ways, and we'll have everything we ever needed. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, it says, but in order that the world might be saved through Him, because there's no other way. We couldn't be saved without Him. We couldn't go to heaven. We couldn't be free of sin without Him. But are you free? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Are you living in freedom by the gift of salvation? Verse 18, he says, Those who believe in Him are not condemned. We're not condemned anymore. We don't stand condemned in the law. We just read it in Deuteronomy. That woman, she deserved to be stoned. So do I. So do you. We all deserve the death penalty before God's holy throne in the place called hell. But God did not send Him to condemn us, but that we might be saved through Him. He says here, those who believe in Him are not condemned, though we deserve it. We're set free, we're redeemed, we're born again. Just as it says in the earlier part of this chapter, remember, verse 1 of chapter 3 of John, Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, the leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs You do apart from the presence of God. Verse 3, Jesus answered him, Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above, he says. Born from heaven in this translation. Born again, the King James tells us. He says here, Nicodemus in verse 4 said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Verse 5, Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God. No one, not a person, not one, without being born of water and spirit, being washed in the blood. In verse 6, what is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Have you been set free? Have you been born of the spirit? Verse 7, do not be astonished, I say unto you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is with everyone who is born of the spirit. We're redeemed in the Holy Ghost. We redeem by the power of His blood. He says here, those who believe in Him are not condemned. The latter part of verse 17, but those who do not believe are condemned Already the Bible says it's not we're going to be condemned. It's not one of these days at judgment day I'll be condemned. No, without Jesus, right here, right now, this very moment, we stand condemned already. Not going to be, not was, already. Why is that? He tells us in the furthest part, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Acts tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's why they haven't believed, not because they haven't done enough good works, or they haven't bought their way, they haven't given enough money. No, it's because they have not believed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that what he did was true. Believe that he was born and died on the cross of Calvary and rose again. Believe. Put your faith in him. Verse 19, this is a tragedy of this world today. It was back then. And it will be until Jesus comes back. Verse 19 of John 3, he says, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. God's light, Jesus' light. He came, as the Gospel of John tells us in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was God. And John the Baptist bore witness to that light. We're to bear witness of the light of God. He says, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light of the world. And the people love darkness rather than light. What happens if we live a life in darkness? Our eyes get pretty used to it. We as Christians, when we're living in this world down here below, we don't need to be getting used to the dark. We have these wonderful, you know, we have like candles that remind us of God's light, God's presence among us. We have them over there to remind us of the wonderful gifts that God gives us. We have the sun to show us of God's light. We need to be bearing witness of that light as John the Baptist did, living in the light, for he is the light of the world. We don't need to be living in darkness. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all, the Bible tells us. That light has come into the world, the greatest gift of all. Let's not reject it. Let's not get used to the darkness around us. Even in this holy, wonderful time of year, there's a lot of darkness surrounded. There's a lot of darkness being shown forth, cloaking the wonderful celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's darkness surrounding it, but we need to be seeing the light through Jesus Christ, the light of God. It says here, people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Lord, help us. Verse 20, for all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light. Are you bearing fruit for God so that their deeds may be exposed? Verse 21, but those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God, that their deeds have been done in God. They're living for God because we're born again. Are you born again into God's family? Have you accepted the gift of his love? She said, no one, sir. She stood before Jesus. And what did he just tell us in the third chapter? Before God, we stand not condemned with him. Without him, we do. Those people that turned away from Jesus and walked away, they were still condemned in their sins. But she says, woman, where are they? Has no one to condemn you? She said, no one, sir. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. So often, God's children, so often people around us want to run from God instead of to him. When Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. There's so much lack of rest in this world, so much restlessness living in the darkness. But in the light, we can have rest. We can have peace that passeth all understanding. It's beyond the human comprehension because it's from God. We can have love beyond human comprehension because it's from God. We can have faith in him beyond our comprehension because it's from God. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Never run from the Lord. Come to him. Come to him and accept the gift of his love. But notice here, the gift of his love is not a license to sin. It's not a way of licentiousness, a way of wickedness. Because what's he say? Neither do I condemn you. It's two part, the same verse. Go your way, he says. And from now on, do not sin again. As King James says, go and sin no more. If we receive the gift of the wonderful, wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, it's going to make a difference in our lives. It's going to make a difference how we treat one another. It's going to make a difference how we treat the lost in this dying world. It's going to make a difference how we treat the Lord. It's going to make a difference in our lives. Neither do I condemn you. God is not here to condemn you. He sent Jesus to redeem you, not to condemn you. You're condemned without him, but you're redeemed with him. Have you accepted the gift of his love? Are we living in the gift of his love, the greatest gift of all? Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's a lot of darkness and wickedness in this world, but if we follow Jesus, we're living in the light, for he is the light. He is the one. He is the way. He's the truth. He's our Heavenly Father's Son, made flesh. Then the Pharisee said to him, "You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, because I know where I am come from." He came from heaven. "And where I'm going," he's going to heaven. "But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards." Now notice here, we just read some of God's standards of judgment. They're a lot higher than ours. "You judge by human standards. I judge no one." That's the Father. "Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid, for it is I not alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me." As God's Son, Jesus Christ, who rose again. In verse 21, it says again, he said to them, "I'm going away, and you will search for me, but you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come." Then the Jews said, "Is he going to kill himself? And that what he means by saying, 'Where I'm going, you cannot come'?" He said to them, "You are from below, I'm from above. So I must be born again, brothers and sisters. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he." He gives us the gift of salvation. He offered it over and over to the Pharisees. He offered it over and over to the Sadducees and the scribes, all these people. He offers it to me and to you. So we have the choice to make every day. What are we going to do about it? "Woman, where are they? Sir, where are they? Child of God, where are they? Has no one to condemn you? The devil will condemn you. Sin condemns you. Yourself condemns you." She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." Have you received the greatest gift of all this Christmas? The gift of Jesus Christ. Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you, do you know him as Savior? Do you know his love? Or are you walking in darkness? It says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. When we're born again, we're a new creation. The Bible says the old things have passed away. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you've trusted in him, and the old things are passed away, just like heaven and earth will someday pass away. God's word will never fail. And you are born again, a new creation, a new creature in Jesus Christ, if you've accepted the gift of his love. If you've accepted it, glory to God, brothers and sisters. Are you living in it? Are you doing the latter part? He said, "I'm not going to condemn you. You'll come to me." The next part is you go out. Go and sin no more. Don't be a slave to sin. Don't walk in the darkness and in ways of evil, but live as risen people. Perhaps there's something in your life. There's darkness. There's a corner of your heart that may be living in darkness. Come to Jesus. He's not here to condemn, but he's here to redeem. Take a moment and pray to him privately, to Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. That you'll never throw us away, Lord. But that your throne of mercy is always open, Lord. Just as you tell us in your word, when a prodigal son returned home, Lord, you were there open arms, ran to him and welcomed him, made him new, Lord. Make us new every day. So we remember in this wonderful time of year, of Christmas we call it, Lord, when we remember the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who loves us the most, who died on the cross for us, who rose again for us, who is living and reigning right now, Lord, that we can put our faith in you and trust in you, Lord. We thank you for him, for that gift. If there be someone listening that does not have that gift, Lord, it may be in darkness. Help them to come to you. Lord, help us all to live in that light. We thank you for him, Lord. And help us to truly be, as the word says, Christians. Be followers of you, your disciples, your children, following your ways above all ways, Lord. Sanctify us by your word, for it is truth. Bless each and every one of these people gather here, Lord. We thank you for them. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to hide in our hearts that we may not sin against thee. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's been a blessing to be here with you in the Lord's house. If you'll stand with me, Josh is going to come extinguish our candles and carry the light out. Let's carry the light out in our hearts, the light of Jesus. Amen.